from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On the show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. And I'm really excited about today's show. We're going to preview the winter meetings, which are taking place in San Diego starting today. So historically, there's been a ton of action that takes place at the winter meetings. Although in the last couple of off seasons, with the really slow-moving free agent market, we've seen a lot less activity. But so far this year, there has been way more free agent activity than there usually is prior to the winter meetings. So it has many predicting that perhaps this could be a much more active winter meetings than it's been the last couple of seasons. Specifically as it pertains to the Giants, we know at the very least we're going to get news about the coaching staff. Now, it was reported today that they still haven't made a decision in terms of who's going to be the pitching coach, but it was reported last night that Arizona State's pitching coach, Jason Kelly, has reportedly emerged as a serious candidate for the job. So this would be a continuation of a trend around baseball where teams are nabbing analytically inclined college coaches to come coach at the major league level. And it's just very outside the box type thinking. And for me personally, I think it's a tremendous thing because there's been a lot of complacency, stagnation, and just recycling old ideas in major league coaching roles. But the Giants, it appears, with several of the names that have been leaked, are going in the total opposite direction and hiring based on merit and hiring based on the value the Giants think that those coaches can add to the major league roster. For a long time, coaches weren't really expected to do much in terms of player development, but those days are over. And it looks like the Giants may be developing one of the most cutting-edge and new-school coaching staffs in baseball. And just like with everything the Giants do these days, I expect this to be met by some with skepticism and even criticism, arguing that they're devaluing the wisdom and knowledge of longtime major league coaches who have been there and done that. But to that, I would respond, they're not going to hire people who aren't great communicators in addition to being experts in their craft. So that is 100% a prerequisite to be a major league coach. There's no doubt that these people are going to be well known for their ability to connect with players and communicate these new ideas to them, because that's basically half of the job. No longer do players need to search out those types of coaches who are going to provide that innovative development to them privately. Those private instructors are now coming into professional baseball and getting jobs in dugouts. Quite honestly, they're providing value that traditional coaches who aren't taking advantage of these resources just simply aren't providing. So if you have those tools and you have the ability to effectively communicate, that's the golden ticket. And that seems to be what the Giants are doing here with these unconventional coaching hires, which again, we're just getting names leaked. We're not getting actual announcements, but that is expected to take place this week, likely tomorrow on Tuesday. So we have that to look forward to. As I said, Donnie Ecker is considered likely to be joining the Giants in some capacity as a hitting coach. Brian Bannister is the director of pitching. We've got Jason Kelly from Arizona State. And a new name leaked last night is Justin Veal, who is a 29-year-old hitting coach in the Dodgers minor league system, reportedly someone who worked closely with Gavin Lux, who had a monster breakout season in the minors and now figures to be the latest star minor league turnout from the Dodgers system, which produces star talent seemingly every single year. So that's what the Giants are trying to accomplish here, is to turn their player development machine into something that rivals the Dodgers. And to be honest, it's something that fans should get excited about, not complain about, because if the Giants were doing what the Dodgers were doing in terms of developing star-level talent from their minor league system, seemingly every single year, Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger, Max Muncy, Walker Buehler, and just with a new wave coming in Gavin Lux, Will Smith, Dustin May, Alex Verdugo, Jock Peterson is there. Just so many really quality players that they're able to turn out and have really high levels of success with, because for many teams, they miss on their minor leaguers and they just aren't able to develop them into the players they have the potential to be. But the Dodgers have had tremendous success converting these players into really quality major leaguers. So anyway, that, you know, Farhan Zaidi obviously knows what the Dodgers were up to in order to churn out that talent. And in fact, Gabe Kapler had a big part in creating the player development machine that is the Los Angeles Dodgers. And so the more I think about this and think about the coaches they're bringing in, the more I understand the Gabe Kapler hire. I already understood it. But, you know, for example, in the Chronicle, there was this hit piece written by Ann Killian talking about how the Gabe Kapler hire represented cronyism and the buddy system between Zaidi and Gabe Kapler. But I just think that's so far off the mark versus what's actually taking place in reality here, which is that Kapler is in touch. You know, they work together. They built something great together in Los Angeles. And so it really makes sense to bring Kapler in where he's familiar with all of those processes and he's familiar with some of the coaches that they're now looking to integrate into the Giants organization. So I know some of you just hate the idea of me complimenting the Dodgers or anybody complimenting the Dodgers, but it's impossible to ignore the success that they've had. And I get it, they haven't won a championship, but the last 3 years they're averaging 101 wins. Like I said, churning out star-level talent every single year. The pipeline is just, there's no end in sight, and they don't have any long-term commitments on the books right now, so they still have a ton of flexibility to extend and sign who they want without being held back by albatross contracts that'll limit their ability to make smart decisions. If you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcasts for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live and at Ben Caspick on Twitter, and we will share and retweet. We talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, as promised here in the second half of the show, I want to continue having that conversation we started about the Dodgers and their success versus what the Giants have going for them and specifically had going for them before Farhan Zaidi took over, and also want to preview some possibilities for the Giants at the winter meetings. So it's true that many times Giants fans will cite the three championships as evidence that their organization is superior to the Dodgers despite all the regular season success the Dodgers have had. And while that's certainly true looking in the past, you know, you'll always take the championships over the regular season success. That's just not a question. It's not up for debate. Nobody is arguing against that. But as we said on a recent podcast, it's about giving yourself the best chance. And since 2016, the Giants have had zero chance to win the World Series because they haven't made the postseason. Meanwhile, the Dodgers every year are giving themselves a great chance because they've averaged 101 wins and easily won the division each of the last 3 years. I mean, actually, it wasn't so easy 2 years ago. They ended up tying with the Rockies and had to win the play-in game. But still, here's the thing. The Giants haven't won a recent World Series. We're kind of acting like they have, but it's been 5 seasons. 5+ years have passed since the last time they won a championship. And in that 5-year stretch, they have 100 fewer wins than the Dodgers, so averaging 20 fewer wins per season since 2015, since the start of 2015. Now, it gets even worse looking in the shorter term. In the last 3 years, the Giants are averaging 71 wins a year to the Dodgers 101. So anyway, that's the goal. I'm pretty sure Giants fans would be happy if the team was winning 100 games a year and turning out players like Cody Bellinger on seemingly an annual basis. So the last thing I want to say about these winter meetings is that the big story kind of around the Giants is these rumors about Madison Bumgarner. First, there was a rumor by Bob Nightingale saying the Giants weren't inclined to keep him, basically that he wanted to return, but the Giants weren't even engaging. So I take any Bob Nightingale rumors with a huge grain of salt because he has a tendency to put out really blatantly wrong stuff when you look back. For example, as soon as Bobby Evans was fired as Giants GM, Bob Nightingale said Ned Colletti, former Giants assistant GM like 15 years ago, was the favorite to become the new GM in San Francisco. So that never made any sense, yet he actually said that. That's just one of countless examples of reports like that that turn out to be just totally ridiculous. So I don't buy at all that the Giants just like aren't engaging in Madison Bumgarner. They're going to do their due diligence. But that being said, he's reportedly seeking a deal near Zach Wheeler's deal in the 5-year, $100+ million range. I think there's a very, very low chance that the Giants would be interested in that price range because, quite frankly, I just think that would be a huge overpay for what you're going to get for Bumgarner. There are a couple of actually really, really good starting pitchers on the market in Garrett Cole and Steven Strasburg. And then if you're looking at performance that's comparable to Bumgarner, there's a lot of guys who can be signed for far fewer years and dollars, but give you comparable production. So the last thing I want to say is that what seems like a growing possibility and a very real possibility for the San Francisco Giants is taking on another team's quote-unquote bad contract in order to buy a younger player. So we've teased that topic multiple times this offseason. We have a quote from Farhan Zaidi saying that they're in a position to do that should the right fit present itself. And then now we have multiple reports of other teams actively trying to shed payroll in this way. And on Twitter, I made an exhaustive list. It's actually not exhaustive, but it's an extensive list of 29 contracts on 11 different teams that realistically those teams would be trying to move to free up some payroll. So to me, looking at these names and these teams, some of the best fits include the Boston Red Sox, Chicago Cubs, and the New York Mets. But really, all of these teams and these contracts look like potential fits. On this list, I've included the no-trade status of these players. For example, one of the possibilities that's been floated out there is the Giants taking on David Price and his remaining 3 years, $96 million. And in return, they get to attach the young, talented, left-handed hitting outfielder Andrew Benintendi. So a deal like that could make sense for both sides and might be the most likely outcome for the Giants this offseason, and it could be something that happens here at the winter meetings. To get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. We'll have another episode tomorrow talking about any and all news that goes down today at the winter meetings, maybe some more coaching staff updates, possibly some acquisitions. Really hope you enjoyed today's show. Cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.